Yes, you are listening to the John Curley, Sherry Ellegar Show. Thanks, everybody, for coming along for the ride. By the way, you could change the name of a highway, but people are still going to keep calling it Martian Speedway. That's right.
I mean, come on.
It does give the impression like, oh, we're on the Speedway. Right? So when they renamed the John Wayne Trail to the Cascade Palouse Trail or something like that, and they renamed it because John Wayne was a racist. But still everybody around here is like, yeah, get on the John Wayne Trail. John Wayne Trail. They're not calling it the Cascades to Palouse. No, they're like, yeah, that violated our rules about how to name the trail. Still the John Wayne Trail, right? Still the Key Arena as far as I'm concerned.
How could we, in good conscience, give someone a speeding ticket for speeding on the speedway?
That's the perfect question. It really is the perfect question.
It really is. Diving in today. Went back into the pond today, as I do every day, Sherry, and there was no salamander. I guess he had had his fill.
Snack.
I looked it up. They do eat fish, little fish. And I know where he lives. I just wonder where do they come from? He was eating all my frogs, too. And the ducks, because I got fish in the pond, and they find that ducks eat fish. I'm like, damn those things.
Birds
swimming around. They're a husband and wife team. The guy, the mallard, has got the pretty feathers, and the poor wife is left with kind of ugly look. But there they are. Out there on the island or sitting on the floating green, pooping all over the place. Like, oh, don't bother them. They're eating all my fish.
Oh, don't bother them.
Oh, just let them eat the fish? What about the fish?
What about the birds?
Okay, what about the show? Here we go. This is.
I was going to ask that too.
All right, fine then. Let's see. It's a whole mishmash of stuff. Let's find one that slightly looks somewhat like news. Check with Nate, the Big and Bummy traffic desk. I will do this one because Joe likes to put anything in there having to do with the Guinness World Book of Records because. He was passed the note from Jacob and from Bitter Brian Buckley that if any story about the Guinness World Book of Record comes on, make sure you do that to kind of poke Curly right in the eye with it. So here's this woman. I'll never be able to break this record. She is, does she actually have the record or she's going for it?
Half an inch away.
Okay, moving on to another story. she's a half an inch. What is the record and how close is she?
The record for the smallest waist is 15 inches. She's at 15 and a half, and she wears like an iron corset every single day to try to get to this point. And it's starting to cause some health problems.
Oh, I actually have her. Is she talking about it on TikTok? I'm assuming she must be, or somebody's talking to her about it. Here she is trying to go for the smallest waist.
I have experienced migraines for most of my adult life and have been like relying on just a rescue medication since maybe 2012.
I would describe it like as an ice pick headache. It's just a very sharp, very concentrated pain in one spot.
Anything else here?
Oh, yeah, I wear a corset.
Let's talk about that now. What kind of corset?
Like a modern steel-bone waist
like
training.
Like a lumbar support or like
no.
A corset? Like,
no,
like a cinching?
A cinching kind of corset.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long are you wearing your corset?
Like probably 16 hours a day. So,
from a doctor's perspective, like there's no way that you can't think like atrophy, weakness, how is that hindering the body? Is there a rationale for this?
At this point, I'm pursuing a record.
A record for what?
Like the Guinness?
Like the actual Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah. So the living Guinness Book World Record for the smallest corseted waist is 15 inches. And I am down to regularly wearing a comfortable 16 inches.
Long term, is this something that you're going to continue to do in your head?
I don't know. I feel like once I like know, like or at least match the record, I don't care about going smaller. But I like...
Smaller?
I have some initial red flags that are going off, but maybe it's not now. Maybe it's that we need to look at how that affects you in the long run.
Yeah, she could also get another record for, like, most damage done to her colon or internal organs and things like that. So she still wears it because she just wants to get the record, even though she's having migraines that are like a railroad spike in her eye.
Yeah, but don't you think that Guinness should get involved in some of this stuff and say, that's an unhealthy record to try to keep? Or, I mean, the fact that she's damaging herself for, and it's really a dumb record. Who cares?
Oh.
I mean, seriously, what bragging rights do you have? You're all squished in and gross and nothing works inside of you. And you can, tell somebody at a party, I've got the smallest waist, but I have no lung capacity.
I would do that. I would suffer for it. Besides,
probably
let me explain to you how Guinness is not like on top of all this stuff. When we applied to break the world record for most amount of water skiers behind one boat for one nautical mile, we sent in the application and they're just like, all right, make sure you got a witness on board. And that was it. It was like, are you going to send somebody? Some guy in a bow tie and a vest with a pocket watch or something and a top hat, you know, and an Airedale or, you know, whatever those Guinness World Book of Records people would be like. They're like, nope, just sort of hands off. Yeah, just make sure you got somebody that, you know, records it. Just says you did it.
When I set a Guinness World Record on the David Letterman show, they sent out Stuart.
Oh, what? What did you get?
Stuart Claxton, who is a official record, what do they call, auditor? So he would sit there and make sure everything was by the book.
What did you win, Joe?
I didn't. I participated in it. My coworker set the record for most T-shirts worn by one person at one time.
Another brilliant one.
Yeah, and so my job was to stretch the collars and help them put the T-shirts on, because after like 100, it's really difficult.
After 100, it's difficult.
Wow. Well,
how many did he end up wearing?
Well, we set the official record with 170, but when we came on to Letterman, they wanted us to just break the old record by one with the Guinness people on stage with us, and so it was like 121. The prior record was 120, so we did 121 on TV, but we have evidence of doing 170.
And are you timed? Must be under a time.
No, there was no time.
No.
Well, here's the thing. It took us 4 hours the first time we did. We did it as a radio stunt, you know, just typical radio stunt.
Oh, yeah.
It took us 4 hours.
Yeah, a guy put on T-shirts on the radio. It's a visual. Yes.
Yeah, it was that bad. But so we reached out. We wanted to put up a video on YouTube. It went viral. It was getting millions of views right in the beginning of YouTube. And so we thought we could capitalize on it. So I found a producer that worked for Letterman. Ellen had reached out, but we didn't want to do Ellen. We wanted to do Letterman. So we reached out to them, and they said, yes, absolutely, but you got to be able to do it in under an hour. So we had to do these trial runs where we'd speed run it, and we got it to under an hour.
Huh.
Yeah.
And they just kept checking back with you?
No, he was
he
was sitting there with his clicker watching every shirt that went on.
Yeah, but during David's show, they would just go back to you, see how.
Oh,
you
were doing. We were in the entry hallway, so they had a camera guy out there with us, and they'd come on. And then when he finally did it, he went up on stage and high fived everybody on the way.
How did he breathe with 170 T-shirts on?
It's so really difficult. It becomes really compressive. And in fact, we got invited to go on Regis and Kelly a few years later to say they did like a.
You're
Guinness.
Too good for that. You're too good for those guys.
Well, we did.
You've done David. You don't need to do that.
We had old shirts for the original record. When we went to Regis and Kelly, they wanted Hanes to sponsor it because they make T-shirts.
Oh,
and they gave so they provided all the shirts, and he almost died on the set. They had to cut him out. The paramedics had to come in because he couldn't breathe. They weren't the right type of shirts, and they weren't stretched enough. So they had to call
it
off.
Great.
I got some video from that. It was.
Did he have a panic attack or something?
Oh, he couldn't. First, he couldn't breathe, and then he started having a panic attack. And we're in the middle of the show, and they're getting ready to pull the curtain.
Was Regis like, "What's going on over there? Come on, Feldman,
exactly
Stedman, do something."
He called in Stedman. The EMTs had to come. They had to pull their big old medical scissors and cut him out of that thing.
Yeah. Didn't do well for Hanes.
No, definitely.
Hanes T-shirt kills a man.
That's right.
You're right. 120 kill a man.
Yeah. And so there must be one for underwear, right? There's got to be one.
Yeah,
I got to find one of these easy. I got to get in there. My one was, it used to be called the middle column of the Wall Street Journal. There was always odd stuff, and they never had any photos in the Wall Street Journal. You said like these ink drawings. And I thought, oh, if I could get an ink drawing and be in the middle column, it was called I Head H-I-H-E-D or something like that in the middle column. That's all kind of gone away. So then I thought, just just one thing. Maybe when I die, I could decompose somewhere. Some sort of record like this. Something. Just want to get in. It was the only book I ever read when I was a kid. Yeah. When you fourth grade, you get reading because it was raining outside, so no recess. You go to the book bin or the rolling mobile book library would come down the hall, and they'd ring this bell, and you'd run out there. And I always go ahead and get that, so I could see the guy with the weird, you know, spinning sort of fingernails, or
yes,
the tallest guy, the shortest guy. Always had a top hat on. It's like something in there, and I was paging through there, thinking, what could I do? How could I get on there? I've tried three times, and I got to come up with a new one. Andrew's always looking out for one, like the guy that smashes the most amount of eggs on his head. We looked at that.
That's
one
an easy
while.
One. That seems like that would be a good one. It doesn't constrain you. No. It wouldn't constrain you, and you, if it didn't hurt, you could stand there all day and do it. But that type of stuff is usually timed.
Yeah, I know that. I'm not going to try to slip in there with, like, taking 2 days to smash eggs over my head, you know. Wilcox Family Farm eggs, most right. likely.
When we all find right. something, then, I've got contacts at Guinness. We'll make it legit.
Oh, do you now? I do. Okay, okay. Oh, all right. Because we broke the the line. You know, hop. The something line where everybody gets in the line and you put your hands on the person's hips in front of you. What is that called? That dance you do?
The bunny hop.
The bunny hop. We had it for about one day. We did it at the Puyallup Fair, and then the people at the Minnesota State Fair crushed us. Yeah. So, again, absolutely meaningless. Doesn't mean anything. Sherry poop all over it saying, oh, that didn't really mean me.
Well, no. I think there's lots of things you could do. I don't think it should involve other people because they're too unreliable. So if you could do a solitary event, like smashing eggs on your head, or that didn't, you know, make you – uncomfortable or suffocate or something like that, you should rely on yourself to do it, because when you get too many people involved, it's too confusing.
Yeah, you don't need other people, just you and a bunch of chickens that are willing to lay a bunch of eggs. The fact that people have been dining and dashing, this goes on for a long time, but this particular couple, I don't know how they became famous for it, but they have been busted after hitting five restaurants for over $1,200 for free meals. This is from the New York Post. When I was a waiter, people used to dine and dash every once in a while. I've seen people dine and dash. I was at the Four Seasons in Atlanta, and I watched these five people, and that is not cheap. It's like $60 a person or something. They went in. They were very well-dressed. They went up to the thing, got all the stuff, sat down, and then the waiter comes over and goes, have you seen that people that were sitting? It's like, nope, they're gone. Boop. Because it happens all the time. Dining and dashing. I've only done it once when I was desperate, had no money. Zero money, and I went in there. The waitress should have known. I said, what's the heartiest meal you have? I mean, something really filled me up, but wouldn't slow me down when I raced towards the door.
The other trick is you can give somebody the hotel room, like you can charge it to my room, and it's somebody else's room.
No, Sherry, because they catch you on that because of the last name. They get you in the last name. And your last name is? And you're like,
Brokaw.
Brumper Sherry.
Well, these people, the reason they didn't get caught, they say, is because when the eatery figured it out, they called the police, and the police were like, I'm not taking that seriously. We got other things to do. So they just kept getting away with it.
Right. So then they would dine at most places and then just leave, and they wouldn't anybody see that. There's a perfect example that if you don't enforce the law, people break the law. That's what's happening on all those campuses. I'm surprised they don't have the one in the UW right now, but that's what's happening on the East Coast. And as this stuff keeps going in Florida, they went down there. They tried to start in one of the campuses down there that would not have it there. Somebody sprayed them with a bunch of water or turned on the sprinklers. But in New York, they're letting them go. AOC tweeted something out about, you know, the Gestapo or however she referred to these police officers. And the chief of police wrote back and, you know, kind of a nice thing about these kids. Maybe they've got good SATs, but they don't understand how the law works and they're so entitled, you know, they're not going to stay there and we're going to move them out of there. So now it's an ongoing thing because this thing, once it gets going, other campuses are like, we should do that too. So, throughout New York, Princeton got broken up, but I'm sure, University of Washington will have most likely a protest tomorrow. And the biggest problem is I talked to a friend of mine, the guy we had on, Eitan, who's trying to set the world record, more world record stuff for most amount of pitches. And I was asking him about it. And he said, you know, he walks by some of these campuses. He lives in New York and he wears a yarmulke. And he's, yeah, you get people that yell at you and scream at you. And I asked him just overall, is there a sense of danger, or at least you feel at more threatened than you were in the past? And he said, yeah, it's real. And, you know, just having people scream and yell at you and this kind of stuff that they're yelling, you don't feel safe. So then they've told the kids that are on, that are Jewish, you know, stay home and don't bother going to campus.
So, I think it's at Columbia. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, he wrote, Columbia's a nightmare. I walk by the campus a few times a week. Now it's completely barricaded off by the police. Jewish students had to evacuate. It's absolutely insane. I hate seeing this played down. They had a World War II level stuff yelling when we were walking by. New York is fine. It's the college campuses. And he writes down, Schadenfreude. I could have never gotten into Columbia. And now it turns out the place is just run by a bunch of idiots.
Well, some people are actually trying to get tuition reimbursement because everything's gone hybrid. And so the students that have to go home are saying, we're not getting our money's worth. We want to get some kind of reimbursement here.
Right. And then USC canceled the commencement celebration for graduates because, you know, they're afraid there's going to be some protesting. So these are the same people that got ripped off during the whole COVID thing, right? So they had 4 years, they couldn't really go to school then, and then they finally graduated, and they're not going to have a celebration, not going to have a ceremony because their safety can't be guaranteed. Crazy, crazy world we're living in.
Weird, weird, not weird, here. Weird, weird.
Thank you, Sherry. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs, the best eggs. Sherry's recipe is hard-boiled eggs with salt. Delicious. Thank you, Sherry, for your hard-boiled egg recipe.
Mm-hmm. Happy to
Wilcox
help.
Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. A couple quick stories to get to before we get to all the train robbing thing. And this is a new one. I saw this in the National Review that there is a AI now. You answer a few questions, and then it takes a picture of you, or you send them a photo, and they can tell you whether or not you're conservative or not. We haven't signed up for it because I think they're probably charging us. We used to do all the AI stuff before all of a sudden, like, hey, people like this AI. Let's charge them, because we were able to get in there on the song and a bunch of other stuff. But I guess now, and people that wrote the article, well, now what? If they're able to just simply look at you by your facial features to determine whether or not you're conservative or liberal, is that going to be used somehow else down the line to stop you from expressing particular ideas that might not go with what the Biden regime would like you to be talking about in public? Have you taken the test yet, Sherry? Did you fill out the forms and find out if you're conservative or liberal?
No, this was a pretty limited experiment. They talked about 500 people, and the 500 people answered a bunch of political questions, and then they did something. They took images, or they talked about it being like a roadmap or a fingerprint of their face, and then I guess they tried to match it up. This doesn't exist. This is just a test that they did. The author's speculation is that it's just a matter of time until they start to target people. It is a bit of a tin hat story.
That's why I fell for it. My father's test for conservative and liberal is what percentage of people cheat the system. It's a question I asked Tom like 1 week into doing the show with him.
Move on.
I don't know, 12 years ago or something. What percentage of people cheat the system? And I think Tom said 8. I said, first he went to what systems? I said, any system, no matter what it is, any system that's in place. If you could cheat it, how many people cheat it? He said, I think 8. I said, really? So 92% of people obey all systems? I think so. I said, okay, then you would fall into the category of a liberal. Wasn't, and then near the end of our shows together, I asked him, he had moved up to 13, and he said he blamed me for somehow darkening his soul by being able to go from 8% of people to 13% of people that cheat the system. Do you know what the answer is?
75.
It's high. I don't know what the answer is, but it's basically your perception of people, and do people do what you inspect or expect, and you see people cheat systems every single day. HOV lane or the baggage claim, you know, not paying for your bag, just dumping the bag down at the end of the jet with a jetway, you know, anything you can do, anything anybody can do to kind of just not follow whatever the system is. If they look at it and they go, well, does this apply to me? Is it really that big of a deal if I do or don't? Who's it hurting? Other people have done it, so I'm going to, you know, say it's my birthday at Red Robin, get a free piece of cake or something. It's a system that's in place, and they're hoping that you're going to be honest, but then you find out, people don't. Like, for instance, we did the story about the $50 million or something they're going to set aside for poor people so they can buy $90,000 EVs. Some guy wrote me last night and said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay a friend of mine who makes $30,000 a year to go buy the car for me and get the, I think it's like $19,000 or something discount, or $15,000 discount. And I'm going to have her buy the car, and then I'm going to pay her a little something, and I'm going to get the discount that way. And he says he's looking into it to find out if he's able to cheat the system.
Well,
and I sent in the paper. I can't find out whether or not they can catch you on that. If there's something in there that says you can't, if you buy the car, you can't transfer the car cannot be sold to somebody else or something like that. So then you're stuck with the car. I don't think they wrote that in there because I don't think they thought people would cheat it. But of course, if somebody can find a way around it, they will to their own advantage. So you don't need
that's
a photo
human nature.
Of an AI.
Or the company John keeps.
I have very entrepreneurial friends. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Leave it at that. Oh, come on. You didn't think about that, too? That they have no system in place for that? Huh? That they don't check? That people are going to cheat it somehow?
I imagine they did. I mean, there probably is something in the fine print that says you cannot transfer this car, you cannot purchase it for another party, those kinds of things. I mean, that's fairly obvious that they would expect something like that to happen. And
right,
as we talked about yesterday, this is for people that are, I think, in the 300% something of poverty. It's unlikely, yeah, even with a $15,000 discount, that they would be able to afford the monthly payments of a $90,000 car.
Yeah, I think it was 40. If you're a single person, it's 40. If you're making $45,000 or less, then the car has to be priced at $90,000 or less. And then the dealers had to be participating in this thing. And then you would get the money. You get, I think, $7,500 for the federal government. And then the state of Washington kicks in money as well. They get all added up to about $15,000 complete discount. Here's the difference on it. Yeah, it'll say in there, you're not allowed to transfer or can't sell it to somebody else. But do they check? And this is a story. My father, when the gas crisis happened in Philadelphia in 73, 74, in the big long lines of all the gas stations, my dad owned a car wash that was also a gas station. And they came out with this edict that gas stations were only allowed to have 1 month's supply of gas. And as soon as it was gone, you had to wait. And then they also put this thing in place that if your license plate ended with an odd number or an even number, all even numbers would go and get gas that day. And the lines were down this, you know, what can we do? We don't have enough gas. So my father realized, working at IBM for all those years, that they can say you gas stations can only get one load of gas, and as soon as it's gone, it's gone. My father realized they don't check. They have no way of checking. They don't have enough people to go around. Plus, back then, they didn't have computers to know, did that gas station order one supply of gas that month and then run out? He knew that they had no way of knowing. They just came up with the idea. So Mike, who worked at Stratford Car Wash, would call him up and say, Jack, I just, it's called sticking or stuck. I just stuck the tanks and we're almost gone. And it was just like about the first week of the month. So my dad says, reorder it. We're not allowed to do that. I don't care. Reorder. Well, we got about a quarter tank left. Should I reorder now? Order, reorder. So my dad was reordering and having gas. And then the local paper came out and they're like, why? And even Channel 6, PVI, why is this gas station still has gas? And all the other gas stations on Lancaster Avenue were completely out of gas with the big handmade signs. Sorry, we're out of gas. Come back in 3 weeks. He's like, they don't have a system. They have no way of knowing. So just keep reordering. Just go back and reorder another big batch of gas and dump it in there.
Wasn't he afraid when he got publicity about this?
For what,
that it might alert people that were setting the rules, that maybe they need to look into that?
Yeah, and then somebody from Harrisburg is going to come and check him. The only way he got caught is because what he did is he said, you want gas? You have to get it. You have to, and this is against the law. You have gas? You have to get your car washed first. So he's forcing people to get a car wash and then get into the gas line. And you're not allowed to do that under the Commerce Clause. You can't make somebody buy something else in order to buy something that they want. You can't do that. So he was bringing it, waving them in. Okay, you want gas? You got to get your car washed, and then you come around, and then you go get gas. Getting gas back then would be like 2-3 hours. Remember, people were pushing their cars into the thing, and it was because the government decided it was going to ration gas. When you ration it, you get less of it. They're trying to control the price. The whole thing was a mess. But I remember sitting at home, my father, we'd get the calls from Mike. It's like, hey, Jack, we're almost out of gas. Yeah, order more. Yeah, that's against the law. Do it.
It's a family trait, apparently.
Yes.
And something else you learn, people wash the car for the first 18 months of the car's life. Somewhere in there. He said right after that, after about 2 years, people wash their car less frequently. So people aren't buying new cars, they don't get them washed. Once the car's like 2 years old, it's like, I'm not going to wash it.
What did he have to do to make up for the fact that he was making people get a car wash? Did he have to pay everybody back?
No. It was a fine, or they told him not to do it. He's like, what are they going to do, huh? He was also the guy that heavily waxed the big slide on the boardwalk so people would go down the slide faster so he could rotate them through quicker to get more people to ride the big slide. But the problem was they would go down so fast sitting on these burlap bags, they'd go crashing into these big piles of bales of hay and hurt themselves.
He had quite a career. Yeah. quite a few business endeavors there.
If he were here, he'd say, sure, I don't get bogged down with the details. I'm just trying to get the rotation up. I need more people going through the slide. So if you speed up the slide, you get more people through. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Mike over at the gas station pour gas all over the slide.
And the burlap bags.
Yeah, light them on fire. All right. Yes, it is. Great letters. I'm sorry. There's hand up in the back. Lady right back there. Question.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Oh.
Hey, Joe.
I'm sorry. Is that a yes? Okay, that's a yes.
I don't have the letters yet. Teeny.
Oh, sure you do. Sure.
Joe.
Maybe check
Teeny.
Again.
Teeny.
I do not
Teeny.
Get it.
Teeny, I don't have the letters. I Sherry doesn't have the letters. Nope. Yeah, where
the
are they? Hang on.
I don't believe this.
Yeah, I believe it.
I do too. I'm not surprised one bit. She's falling down on the job because she can't get her little employee of the week thing again. So now she's just doing whatever she's doing.
What did you say your name was?
Teeny had to hit the send button. But
we have to go with a truncated version of the Mailman song. I'm sorry, Andrew, did that to you. Truncated. Truncated. Truncate it. We'll get the letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest, Sherry.
Okay, off topic, 360 on John's public transportation rant. Teleporting like
rant.
Like Stevie TV from Willy Wonka. That's the future, huh?
Mm-hmm. Rachel in Auburn says, Sherry, I beg to differ on panties being the worst word ever. The worst word ever is moist.
Got a great point there, Rachel. Andrew
don't
in the 509.
The
no. Don't. John, on next year's lingerie day, you could try and set the record for most panties worn. Not sure what the current record is, but I'm sure you could get a few hundred of those stringy thingies on.
Thank you, Andrew, for that one. 425. I love you guys. I need a laugh today, and I knew you'd come through. Oh, good. I don't know when that happened, but I'm glad we could be there for you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 206 on paparazzi tips. I used to work for a paparazzi agency in New York City called INF. Most of our photographers got tips directly from celebrities' bodyguards.
Oh.
Ugh.
Like Whitney Houston's bodyguard.
Yeah. It's cute.
404 on dining and dashing. My dad used to make me leave the restaurant before he'd go outside of the car and crank it up and then wait. I would always wonder why he would run to the car and then pull out real fast. My dad was crooked.
Oh. Paul in Sammamish says, scientists predict a hotter than normal summer is expected for eastern Washington. This is in due large part to John Curley walking around his compound shirtless.
Oh, yeah. More than that. No time for crackhead Barney.
And now Sherry, it's time for the letter of the day.
Thank you, Teeny. Better late than never.
Okay. Wow. This is Preston and Buckley on why Kindle or authors would care if you stopped reading. It's called KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing, and I use it to help with my books sometimes. If we sign up for KDP, our ebooks are exclusive to Amazon. Then people pay a monthly fee, around 10 bucks a month, and they can read any Kindle Unlimited book for free. As authors, we get paid for the amount of pages digitally read. So if everybody craps out halfway through your book, you don't get paid for the whole book. You can get 40 people who start your book, only read one chapter, and make like $4 because they're not actually buying the ebook. If people actually buy the ebook, then yes, the full price is paid.
How about that?
Yeah, fascinating.
Wow.
Who knew?
Actually, some news on the show in 3 hours. That's all she wrote.
Crazy. That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no. Come in the last hour. We have another hour to make up for all of this. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Ready, everybody?
Ready.
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 Okay. Okay, Sherry, stop.